Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 5. Let us hear God's word. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we ask today that your Holy Spirit would be shed abroad in our hearts. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guard and mind our hearts. We ask that the Holy Spirit would put a hedge of protection around this place, free from the enemy's influence, that people may be set free at last. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The power of God's people, the power of the church, the power of his bride, invested by his Holy Spirit. Look at how many times the word we and our and us is used. It's not about just your faith, just your prayers, just your salvation. This is about our salvation, our prayers, our God. This is what Romans chapter 5 introduces us into. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us share this peace together. In Anglican circles, they do it sometimes liturgically. The peace of God be with you. And the reality is that for each one of us, that's what we have received if we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God. The war with God is over. The conflict with him is finished. Jesus Christ has paid our penalty on the cross. And it should be the focal point of our excitement, our joy, but the source of our peace. We have peace with God. And only when we have peace with God can we have peace with ourselves and peace with the world around us. And if you're restless and you have no peace, then maybe you need to start searching out. Do you have peace with God? Do you have his peace that passes all human understanding? If we're justified, we can have peace with God. Wouldn't there be wonderful if there was such tranquility of God's presence during our prayer times, that we would sense his peace being our experience? Some of the adversities that you find out in the world, some of the difficulties you would experience, would begin to erode, begin to dissolve as we share his peace together. I'm not asking that you share it in the privacy of your own bedroom. I'm asking that you share it here. There's a world of difference. For you just simply to have the peace of God in your bedroom could be nothing more than selfish sometimes. If it's not shared with God's people, that you radiate peace, that in some senses when you pray with them, when you sit with them, when you suffer with them, when you're with them, they receive the peace of God along with you. What a blessing. That's what family is. That's what we did this morning. We're a family. All of us together. And you have a family. A brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a grandfather maybe, grandmother. You have people who you're connected to. Do you not just want peace sometimes to be in the house? And all joking aside, we know how difficult it can be to get a moment's peace. But there's something special about that peace. There's something very special about this peace that God can give us in our hearts together. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We together have gained access to Him. Together, not just as individuals, but together. When we approach His throne, God's people gathered together for that collective purpose, the enemy shudders. This is a mass army of people who believe in God, who are with God, who want so many things from God for others. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. And so we're on this journey together. There are some who will be having difficult times. They will be having moments of pressure. Who knows the external pressures that you're facing out there? Who knows how difficult it might be for you financially? Who knows how difficult it might be for you to raise your family at home? Who knows what health concerns that you're experiencing? Who knows what emotional trauma and stresses you are under? The privacy of your own bedroom reveals it all. The darkness that descends over you there clouds you from morning to night. There are all sorts of worries, vexes, and concerns that you experience, that you do not share, that you hold in through lack of trust, through being hurt in the past, through feeling manipulated or vulnerable towards other people. Your crushing world crushes in upon you. Perhaps as a Christian, you're experiencing times of persecution and difficulty. People are making fun of you. You're being mocked at work. You're experiencing all sorts of ethical dilemmas. You don't know what to do in certain situations. You feel adrift. You're plodding through your ministry, but you feel the weight of your ministry. You have no joy in the Lord. You're suffering. In those moments, do you want to suffer on your own, or do you want to suffer with God's people? Do you want to be in a situation that we can suffer together, realizing that our perseverance produces character and our character hope? And hope does not disappoint us. This is us. We're in this together, all of us. And then verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Are you filled with love? Are you filled with your lover, with God's love? Because once you start to be filled with God's love, it begins to radiate, it begins to shine out of you. It is selfless in nature, it cares for those that come into your life and those who go out of your life. It cares for everyone, not just for someone. This love is broad, this love is deep, this love is overwhelming, this love is consuming, this love is selfless and sharing, this love radiates hope into a hopeless world, this love gives itself as a ransom for many, it doesn't kill the many to get to the few or the one, this love is endless, this love is priceless, this love is Christ, this love is us. We are to demonstrate it. We are to show it. Rachel Jones, in her book, says, do you want to pray for people you love? Then where do you begin and where do you end? A Christian parent who's praying for his wife, who's praying for his husband, who's praying for his child if they have a family. Is that love? I'm not convinced yet. I would say the world can possess that. Don't need to be a Christian to care about that. Don't confuse yourself with being godly by just praying for your wife or praying for your child. That's not godly. That's just concern. Everyone shares it. We may choose to go about it slightly differently, either in church or in the world, but Do we stop there? Rachel Jones says, a school child, a teenager, an older person. Then she throws it right out, doesn't she? A neighbor, a colleague, a non-Christian friend who is searching, a non-Christian friend who seems hostile, a Christian friend, a Christian who's going through a hard time, a Christian who is sick, a loved one who is rejoicing, a Christian struggling with sin, a loved one making a decision, a loved one on their birthday, a loved one at Christmas. When someone you love has died, who's trusting in Jesus, when a loved one who has died is not trusting in Christ. What Rachel Jones is saying here is, who is your neighbor? Who do you love? You're only loving if you love those that sometimes are unlikable. Colleagues, neighbors, the world outside. Who do you love? If we could get into this position of loving as Jesus did, then our prayer life would be radically transformed, because we'd be praying with love and passion for everyone else, not just those who come within our close friendship circle, not just those that God has graced into our life, but we'd all begin to love as Christ loved, where there would be no Jew nor Gentile, there'd be no free or slave, there'd be no male or female. We'd begin to love the church as Christ loved the church. These are not my mother and brothers. Though God has blessed me with family relationship, with Mary and my brothers, these are my brothers and mother. This is my family. I love them to bits. God placed me all those years ago, made sure I was born of Mary. My heart loves them, but it's not tied to them. Because see, these people here, I love them equally. These are my brothers and sisters. You see that world out there, Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft that I gather is a hen, gathers her chicks, but ye would not. Jerusalem, I could see you as sheep without a shepherd. And he wept, because he loved them to bits. He didn't place restrictions. He kept on loving and loving and interceding the Father. Lord, show them my love. Who are you praying for today? Are you going to open the floodgates of your love and let the world see it? Finally, will you allow us to pray for you today? Do you need it? What would happen if you did? Are you too frightened to be a family? Are you going to let your fears rob you of God's blessing? Let me paint to you a scenario before we leave. Say we had the prayer team in the Wellington Room, and God placed on your heart that you're not in this life on your own. That the day he saved you, wherever it was, he saved you, we were part of a family of God. And there are moments that in your bedroom, the world crushes you to death. But you won't let anyone see it. Why? I tell you why. Because it's the same why that troubled me. My family loves me as they do. Yet they had to encourage me that I needed prayer from somebody else too. I was reluctant because I was too proud. I was reluctant because it would admit that I couldn't handle it on my own. and I was sinful with such an attitude. Because we do need each other. I had to lift a telephone and ring somebody. And I wouldn't normally have telephoned them about this. And it's a number of years ago. And I said, I'm not in a good place. And he immediately came round. And we sat and he prayed. Why would we ever forsake our family structures for human pride? If we cannot be ourselves, then who are we going to be? And okay, someone may break our trust, and it will happen. There will be people who will talk about us and our situations. Leave them to God. Please, leave them to God. God's big enough to protect you and your reputation without your self-vindication. But if we don't allow ourselves to be prayed for by others, then we're just simply adding to the complexity of our problems. If you had a crushing need and someone was willing to sit with you and to pray with you, why would you not avail of it? Why would you not take the opportunity just to allow yourself that moment of vulnerability that another brother or sister in Christ could draw alongside you and simply put an arm around you and say, we're suffering together. When one rejoices, all rejoice. When one suffers, all suffers. Perhaps God has withheld the answer to that prayer because of that very pride that is unwilling to say, I need the help of someone else. Because God created a church that people could pray for each other because they were filled with his love. Let me say this to you. God is your judge, not any human being. What any responsive pastor or person wants, even if you're caught up in sin, is for you to be restored and healed. But if you can't even confess your sins one to another, then the prospects of healing are limited, because you're even too proud to confess that you sin, which is a sin of itself. So when you heap sin upon sin, then you go on struggling with what you're going through. If God touches your heart today because you need prayer, avail of it. Avail of it. Now, I'm not going to ask the prayer team to go out into the prayer room this morning or into the welling room. And I'm not going to ask you to get up out of your seat and to go in there. But I am going to ask you, because this is not a manipulation, that if God has impressed upon your heart that you need prayer this morning because you're not coping with the situation that you have, that you come and speak to Victor. And Victor will get a member of the prayer team that he can think of to go and pray with you for a few moments somewhere in this building. Because if you need his help, then the first step to that is to pray for you. If you have a loved one that you are so anxious over, so concerned about and it troubles you so much, then why would you not seek the prayers of God's people? In Matthew 18, it says this: if your brother sins against you, go to him, show his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as a tax collector or pagan. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst. In other words, as you gather as an authoritative witness, God legally is present in his power and authority. And that's the context of this. There is an authority here of God's presence. But what God sees is the coming together of his people. God can answer your prayer as an individual. That's no problem. Not a problem whatsoever. But he is also saying here that when two or three come together in his name, something else is happening. There's an authority that is present there. And so today, we come together. And we pray for you, but we also pray for those that you love. The ones that you're troubled about. The ones that you're concerned about. The ones that you're anxious about. Give us the opportunity to share that moment's journey. We don't need to know them. We just need to know that you do. And that you have a love for them. And that we together will seek a loving solution by a loving God. He is here. And he wants to touch you. And he wants to bless you.